You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from howstuffworks.com.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in with us. Scott, hello.
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Let me take a second to introduce you as the auto editor of howstuffworks.com.
Thank you.
Among other things, you're a Renaissance man.
Right.
And I'm here to ask some car questions. You're here to answer them. You feel like that's what we've been doing the past few episodes.
Past 50 or so. Yeah.
Has this been working for you?
It's worked out okay.
Okay. Well, let's
no need to change right now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's do it this time.
All right.
This way, maybe our next episode will be about, you know, checkers or backgammon or something.
Oh, okay. Are you an expert in checkers and backgammon?
I was just kind of banking on you learning about it.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Nah,
but here's a pretty interesting one. You'll recall earlier we did a podcast about the basics of cars, why they have 4 wheels, 2 headlights, etc.
Yeah, we tried to answer some of those. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, and we got some good responses, and we found some pretty interesting facts.
Yeah.
Here's another one that we didn't really address. Why are car engines where they are? Because conventionally, they're either in the hood or what they would call the boot the trunk is called the boot, I think, outside of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've been reading, that's not the only place that motors can go. Is that correct?
Well, you're talking about engines, probably.
Engines, yes.
Yeah. Engines and motors. Motors are electric.
Mm-hmm.
Engines are the internal combustion. I didn't mean to correct you right off the bat. I'm just saying I understand what you're getting at, but if you want to be clear about it, we should say that we're talking about motors, really, because they can move motors because they're very small. Engines are a little more difficult. That's why they're typically, you know, center mounted in the chassis, either in the front or in the rear or midships, which is just in front of the rear axle.
And that's a great point that there is a difference between engines and motors.
Yeah, you know, I'm a stickler for that right now, mm-hmm. particularly because we've been doing so much with hybrid cars recently, and hybrid cars have both an engine and a motor, and if you screw up the definition between one or the other, or if you mention it, you know, mm-hmm. in the wrong place, of course, you know.
It can get really messy.
That gets very confusing, yeah. So I always try to keep that straight. What's, you know, if it's an engine, it's internal combustion, you know, or diesel.
Uh-huh.
Well, diesel. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
And if it's a motor, that you're talking electric.
And an electric motor, then, it's easier to have that placed somewhere different in a vehicle?
Yes, it is, because motors are relatively small. You've seen electric motors before. They're in
sure.
a lot of different toys and mm-hmm. gadgets, games. Also in hybrid cars, like we talked about, but they're really not very big. Some of them, you know, they can be big. They can be, you know, good size that... I'm holding my hands up here, almost like a, let's say you go to an ice cream shop.
All right.
And, you know, the bin that they hold the ice cream in the freezer in front of you.
Oh, yes.
They can be about that size and diameter, that circumference, I guess. What we're talking about is a lot smaller. They've, you know, of course, getting better. They continue to reduce the size of these things. They get more and more advanced, more and more powerful as well, which is pretty impressive. You know, they get smaller and more powerful. and they're able now to put motors within wheels.
Inside. Now, let's be clear when we say this. When we say the wheel, of course, as we drew a distinction between engines and motors, let's draw a distinction between wheels, wheel wells, and tires.
Okay, wheel wells, that's the part of the body that's carved out for a wheel and tire to sit within. You know, that's where it moves within.
Yeah.
Okay, the wheel is, or the rim, sometimes what it's called, is the metal part or, you know, composite material, whatever it is, that holds the tire, which is the rubber part. And so we're talking about mounting something within, I guess you'd call it the rim of the car, if you want to describe it that way, but I'll just say wheels. So these motors are mounted completely within the wheel of the car. And, you know, oftentimes there's two or four. You know, they don't want to do just one. It'd be two or four just to balance it out and get enough power to drive the vehicle. But, again, they're right in the wheel. It's pretty amazing.
Now, that has to be, especially when we're describing this way, you're not exaggerating how much smaller these things have become since the advent of hybrid cars.
Yeah, well, okay, here we go again.
Yeah.
This isn't really a hybrid car either.
No,
because
no.
These cars with in-wheel motors, for the most part, at least as far as I know now, and these are prototype vehicles
sure.
at this point, I should stress. They're not really production on-the-road vehicles yet. The electric motor is really all that's powering them. These are all electric cars. And as of right now, there's no mass-produced electric mm-hmm. cars on the road. But this idea definitely has legs because... just the efficiency of it. It's extremely, extremely efficient because you're talking about a motor that's powering the wheel that it's located within. There's mm-hmm. very little loss of energy efficiency between where the power is produced. You know, if, you can argue if that's in the battery or if that's in the motor, but
sure.
I'm saying from the motor to drive the wheel, it's something like 90% efficient versus an internal combustion engine powered car, a standard car, mm-hmm. I think efficiency numbers are somewhere around 20% or something like that, because by the time it gets through the transmission, the drive shaft, the differential, you know, et cetera, it gets to the axle, to the wheel, mm-hmm. you've lost 80% of that efficiency from the engine. So these are extremely efficient. And, of course, with electric motors, you're talking about instant available torque.
Right.
And that's really... pretty important when you're talking about that's why they're so great, really, is because you've got all of your power instantly.
So, and that sounds like a definite advantage, right, over some of the the mainstream technology we have now.
Yeah, right now we've got mainly if you're talking about electric vehicles, we don't have
any mass produced.
No, but we have we do have hybrid cars, and they use both, and you know the placement of it is still kind of near, it's in between the engine and the wheels, mm-hmm. and you're still talking about a little bit of a bigger loss of efficiency. It's not exactly, you know, it's not as close and it's not quite as efficient as these in-wheel electric motors are.
Oh, and Scott, let me go back while we're talking about hybrid cars. Earlier in here, when I was saying that the motors in these they're concept vehicles right now and prototypes, mm-hmm. in these vehicles, in the wheels, these are still smaller than the motors found in hybrid vehicles. Is that correct?
Oh, correct. And you know what, this will be even more amazing, I guess, then if you're impressed with that, because this is the crazy part. These in-wheel electric motors replace so many things in a car. This opens up all kinds of area within the vehicle that can be used for extended passenger compartment areas. It can be used for, you know, bigger crumple zones and better designs, maybe stronger designs.
Oh, yeah.
Because here's what it replaces. If you think about it, an in-wheel electric motor replaces the engine, replaces the transmission. There's no clutch needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is also crazy. The suspension system and the braking system are all completely contained within the wheel as well. So you've got within this wheel, now, you know, the size of a wheel, and we're not talking something huge like a big truck wheel or anything.
Sure.
In most cases. Now, there is a truck that we'll talk about in a moment, but there are car versions of this, you know, compact car versions that have these wheels. There's an in-wheel electric motor. There is the full braking system is within the wheel. It's electric.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the suspension system, which is an electronic system, which, you know, of course, is, I mean, it's super fast because it's electronic. It, you know, reads the road, you know, that type of thing. It adjusts so quickly that, you know, it's supposedly flawless. We'll see when it comes out.
We hope.
Yeah, that's right. It's a well thought out, well designed system. And right now, the people that are making it, and we should say that we're basing this on Michelin's idea. And they call it the active wheel system. That's what they call it, active wheel system from Michelin, if you want to search it and find out what's going on with it.
AWS Michelin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you'll find it. So, you know, again, extremely compact, but extremely efficient, and also, you know, just well thought out. I mean, it's really pretty cool how they can get all of that into the area within a wheel. I'm impressed.
Yeah. And we should also point out, you know, for our regular listeners, you're not really one to just let something slide. There's been a couple ideas we've talked about where you said, you know, maybe it was close but not mm-hmm. quite on the mark. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you're getting behind this one.
Well, I am. As much as I can get behind electric cars right now, because, you know, so far we haven't seen anything that's, I don't know, nothing that's really outstanding. We've seen the Tesla.
Sure.
There are other cars on the way that, you know, are promising a lot, but mm-hmm. we haven't really seen any action from them yet. Now the Tesla, that's an impressive car, but right now it has limitations, and that's mostly the infrastructure that we have in place. Sure. We just don't have enough to support it right now.
Mm-hmm. And there's also battery weight problems.
Yeah, battery weight problems, because we're not using lithium ion batteries with a lot of frequency right now. We do, but, you know, in other devices, not cars right now. Mm-hmm. And there is some limited use of lithium ion in vehicles right now, but again, very limited. And you know, once we get the infrastructure in place, I think, you know, it's definitely possible. But then there's also the the $100,000 price tag on the Tesla.
Oh yeah. What a bummer.
Yeah,
that's true though.
That is
$100,000.
Yeah. Kind of puts it out of reach right now for most people. But
a lot of people who would like to buy a Tesla mm-hmm. could maybe save up and buy one mm-hmm. and then not be able to afford any expenses involved in driving it, you know? It's or, kind of a catch.
Or a house, you know, with a garage to park it in.
Sure. Maybe Tesla should make an RV.
Yeah, maybe.
That would help.
Yeah, I guess they've got a new one coming out pretty soon that's it's supposed to be in the 56,000, 60,000 mm-hmm. range. Well, we'll see how it goes.
We've heard that.
And now, you know, when we're talking about the batteries, though, even with a lithium ion battery, the concept that I'll talk about in a moment here, even with lithium ion again, the battery weight is still 1,000 pounds. So you're talking, you know, heavy battery weight. But then again, you're doing away with the engine, transmission, you know, et cetera. So
it's a trade off.
A lot of the suspension. Yeah. And, we should just talk about the concept right here. The one that I used in the article, or the freelancer rather, that wrote the article, Christopher Niger, he said that the Ford Hyperdrive, Hyperdrive, F-150, so it's a big truck, a big Ford pickup truck.
Sure.
It was shown at the SEMA show in 2008, and it had four in-wheel electric motors. And that replaced the V8 that was normally in the F-150.
Okay.
And it had over 600 horsepower.
Wow.
I know.
And what did they do with all the empty space left behind?
Well, you know what? I got to say, I didn't see under the hood of the thing. I didn't go to the show, and the photos that I've seen haven't shown me what was under the hood. But I got to imagine there was nothing, because you're not going to carry you wouldn't carry... just an engine for no good reason. You wouldn't leave it in place. And I'm sure that there's other things that have to go in there, like maybe some of the battery, just to distribute the weight.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure, but...
Kind of charging components for wherever the plug-in is.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that could be just any number of things up there. I mean, they could relocate some of the things that you normally wouldn't find under the hood to under the hood to save room within the interior, or... there's just a variety of things you can do with that space.
I usually save a typical question for the end, and we're moving away from me asking you if you would drive one.
Okay.
Especially, we can't really say that about these yet, because they're not out, but they seem like they would be a possibility. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to ask you to do, if you're okay with it, and it's cool if you're not, is to forecast a little bit, look into your crystal auto ball there, and give us a little bit of speculation. I know it's your favorite thing. So if you could speculate, do you see this coming out before the infrastructure? That, you know, we've said the infrastructure and the battery weight, those are two obstacles with electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. Could you see this coming out as a viable alternative?
You know, I actually could, because it's in a few different concept vehicles right now. Mm-hmm. And Venturi is using them. Mitsubishi is using them. Ford is using them.
Oh, wow.
A lot of companies are really taking a good hard look at in-wheel electric motors right now. And I think that there's a chance that that may be the way to go, because they're just so so compact, so efficient, you know, they're only getting better. Mm-hmm. That's the way this stuff works. I mean, it just gets better and smaller and faster and stronger, and it sounds like the $6 million man, right?
It did. I was going to let you keep going.
Or is it billion? Six million. Million. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was before inflation.
Yeah, so. 6 million. That was a lot of money at one point. Right?
Yeah, at one point.
Yeah. So, I think it's definitely possible. And, you know, given that the F-150 that I just talked about had a range of, I think it was 100 miles, which isn't bad, I guess.
No, not at all.
Not terrible, not great, but I think it's possible. I mean, I really do. How about you? Do you think, from what you've heard, do you think it's a possibility?
From what we've been talking about, and we've kicked this idea around a couple of times off the air, it seems like the advantages outweigh the disadvantages for a lot of people. Now, as I've said before, you know, I am against an increased number of moving parts. But I feel like it's a trade-off, too, because when you consider that there are four motors, right? So every vehicle with this essentially has four-wheel drive.
No, you could have two-wheel drive also.
Oh, okay.
You could have, and you could put the two in, you could have two in front and or two in the back. So you could have a front-wheel drive vehicle, you could have an all-wheel drive vehicle, or you can have a rear-wheel drive vehicle.
I see. Okay. All right.
Kind of depends on the manufacturer, what they want to do with that car, if it's or that truck.
Okay. Well, that changes my mind a little bit.
Flexible.
If it's flexible.
And really, when you're talking about an electric motor, there's far fewer moving parts within an electric motor than there are within an internal combustion engine, that's for sure.
You're reading my mind. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, because although there are up to four motors, there are still, per motor, there are less parts. So I don't know, man. It would take a lot for me to jump onto it. I would need to know that there was an infrastructure there. There was either a mechanic who could fix things if they went wrong in my area, or ideally it would be simple enough and the parts would be available widely enough that I could do it myself. So, and see, I bring up mechanics because with the cars that I have now, I only won't own one of these cars, the Monte Carlo. But I take care of a couple of cars, and when I take care of these, one of the things that still keeps me from getting a hybrid is that I know enough to fix most of my car's problems on my own, or at least to know when I should take it to a mechanic. Mm-hmm. And with new technology, you won't always know that, and there are bound to be bugs.
Fair enough. Yeah, I can understand your caution with the maintenance thing, because that's scary for a lot of people, even on just cars the way they are now, a lot of electronics. You throw in a vehicle that's all electric, maybe some problems.
And what would we do with all that space, Scott? I mean, gosh, you could have your hood pop open. There could be a cooler in there. I mean, I don't know.
Well, sure, if you're going to have an efficient car, you might as well carry a ton of weight, right?
All right, touche.
See, yeah, see, a little sarcasm, a little biting sarcasm.
Yeah, you've gotten me this whole podcast.
No, the... I guess the idea is that, you know, it will change the design of vehicles. It like could change the design of vehicles. They may look dramatically different. They may not.
Yeah.
It may just be more useful space. It's kind of up to the manufacturer what they do with that space and how it's used. And, you know, I don't know. It just seems like there's just a lot of different possibilities for that area now.
You know what? I'll even go one further with you down that road. It is up to the manufacturers initially, but for our listeners out there and for you and I, it's important to remember that it's also up to the consumers. So if people really want this kind of technology, they do also, through feedback and buying power, have the ability to influence what kind of cars they will see in the future.
No, sure. Yeah. I mean, just get some people involved, get interested in some, you know, maybe I don't know, write to your manufacturer and say, hey, I saw this. I wondered when, you know, what your take is on this, or, you know, are you coming out with a vehicle that has this, even if it's a concept vehicle, I'd be interested in it. I'd like to know more about it. Just make people aware about this stuff and, you know, let them know that you're interested.
And I'm sure that they would love to hear from any consumer. And as a matter of fact, by way of a segue, Scott, I guess it's time that we mention we also love to hear listener mail. So if you have any questions about today's podcast or any suggestions for an upcoming topic, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.